Thank you, Brittany. The title of my talk today is Effects of Social Support and Internalized Homonegativity on the Association Between Population Density and Mental Health Outcomes Among Gay and Bisexual Men. I'd like to thank all of my wonderful collaborators on this project. I also have no disclosures to present. So, there's been an increase in attention towards looking at place effects on health and well-being through social determinants of health, such as built environment, access to healthcare, and social and community contexts. Among the general population, research has examined the role of living in an urban versus rural setting and mental health outcomes, and has found mixed results, with some studies finding higher depression among those living in rural areas to no association or differences between urban and rural areas. Structural factors may be at play here, such as lack of mental health treatment services in more rural settings and with lack of providers or larger distances to traveling to providers. For various minority groups, such as racial, ethnic minorities, gender minorities, and sexual minorities, the social context as a place effect may be particularly important as stigma affects mental health outcomes. For example, in the case of structural stigma, we know that institutional policies and laws, proportion of same-sex couples, and non-discriminating policies do have effect on mental health outcomes. Among sexual minorities specifically, we know that gay and bisexual men have disproportionately higher rates of depression, which has implications for HIV risk behaviors and other alcohol and drug use behaviors. According to minority stress theory, social environments can produce stressors where the sexual prejudice and discrimination may impact negative health outcomes, mental health outcomes, and the effects of stigma on mental health outcomes occur through the pathways of internalized homonegativity and perceived social support. With internalized homonegativity, sexual minorities who experience discrimination and mistreatment start to develop self-loathing attitudes as a coping mechanism. However, social support can mitigate negative effects of stigma by providing group solidarity and cohesion. What is less known is the role of place on these individual level social processes. So why examine place effects for gay and bisexual men? Well, most of what we know about gay and bisexual men comes from those living in urban epicenters, and less about gay and bisexual men living outside of urban centers. Negative effects of being gay and living in more rural settings have been documented, but it's logistically challenging to study non-urban gay and bisexual men because of geographic dispersion across rural areas and relative invisibility of sexual minority individuals outside of urban settings. Research on sexual minorities have mostly relied on convenient samples in more rural areas. However, internet research does allow for sampling of gay and bisexual men from different points along the rural-urban continuum, and not exclusively from urban or rural settings. Even so, categorizing setting as urban versus rural is very difficult for gay and bisexual men samples. Place is often categorized as different classification systems, such as metropolitan statistical areas versus non-metropolitan statistical areas. We also have the RUCA score, which is a rural-urban commuting area codes. However, these classifications really fail to consider the urban-rural continuum and ignore the heterogeneity within urban and rural settings. Additionally, gay and bisexual men tend to live in more urbanized settings, so this largely skewed sample of urban and gay and bisexual men make it difficult to compare groups across the rural-urban continuum. So the aim of our study was utilizing data from a large sample of gay and bisexual men across the United States. We explore place effects across the rural-urban continuum by examining the association between population density and depression. And we also examine the direct and indirect effects of internalized homonegativity and social support on population density and depression. We use data from the 1,000 Strong study, which is a national study examining syndemic factors and resilient factors for HIV transmission among HIV-negative men. Our co-principal investigators of this project are Dr. Jeffrey Parsons and Dr. Christian Grove. Our study is funded through NIDA. So to recruit a national sample of gay and bisexual men, we partnered with Community Marketing and Insights for our recruitment. They are our marketing company. They have a panel of over 22,000 gay and bisexual men across the United States. CMI draws its panelists from a variety of sources, ranging from LGBT sources to even non-gay sources, to maintain a robust and diverse panel of participants from across the United States. And using their own algorithm, CMI is able to target specific individuals based on pre-specified characteristics and invite them to participate in our research study. To be eligible for the 1,000 strong cohort, you had to pass three milestones. Participants were screened for eligibility. They had to complete an at-home CASI online, which was a survey. And then they were asked to complete an at-home HIV and STI testing kit. They did they collected the samples for STI testing and sent those into the laboratory, as well as complete a post-test CASI survey before becoming officially enrolled into the cohort. Our final sample for 1,000 Strong is 1,071 HIV-negative self-identified gay bisexual men. Eligibility criteria for 1,000 Strong. You had to live in the United States and have a permanent U.S. mailing address, 18 years of age or older, biologically male and identify as male, self-identify as gay or bisexual, have English comprehension, internet access, self-identify as HIV negative and willing to complete the home testing kit for HIV and STI testing, be able to have a camera so that we could verify their HIV test results, and report having sex with another man in the past year. For our measures, for depression, we use the CESD, which is a 0 to 60 score. For population density, what we did is we took the population zip codes from the Census 2010 data to get zip code population density. Data was rightly skewed to more dense zip codes, so the population densities were ranked and normalized using rank kits. For internalized homonegativity, that was 9 items on a 5-point scale with questions such as, I have tried to stop being attracted to men in general, or I wish I weren't gay or bisexual. For social support, we use the multidimensional scale of perceived social support, which is a 12-item scale, 6 points, so it's a 1 to 6. And questions related to that were, I can talk about my problems with friends, there's a special person in my life who cares about my feelings. For the analysis, we did bivariate associations for demographics and correlations between variables and scale descriptive statistics. And then we conducted a path analysis using M+ to determine the direct and indirect effects of internalized homonegativity and social support on the relationship between population density and depression. So here are our results. First of all, this is a map of the United States that really just shows the distribution of our participants from 1,000 Strong. As you can see, participants come from across the United States, with all states except for South Dakota. How sad. most of our participants do come from the more darkly colored states, such as California, New York, Texas, and Florida. Our participants, 95% of our participants identified as gay, and most were predominantly white, with 71% white. 54% identified as being single. 54% said they made less than $50,000 a year. And 56% said they had a college education or higher. Most of our guys came from the South, with 35% of the sample coming from the South. Oh, that's very small. Okay. So here are our demographic characteristics. Basically, I'll try to point so you can see. For internalized homonegativity, those that reported being multiracial reported higher scores of internalized homonegativity as compared to whites. And additionally, being single was associated with higher scores of internalized homonegativity. For social support, having a 4-year degree or higher was associated with higher scores for social support, and being in a partnered relationship was also associated with higher scores. For depression, there were no differences for race and ethnicity, and for education, having no degree was associated with higher scores for depression, as well as being single. Here are just our correlations for all of our variables. As you can see, everything is highly correlated with each other. Okay, so for our path analysis, we'll just go through this quickly. First of all, just to let you know, the model's adjusted for race, relationship status, college education, and age. In this fitted model, there is no significant direct effect between population density and depression scores, so we're only showing these significant associations in this model. So firstly, the effect of population density on perceived social support. So higher population density zip codes was associated with higher perceived social support. Higher perceived social support was associated with lower depressive symptoms. And the indirect effect of population density through perceived social support on depressive symptoms was significant. For internalized homonegativity, higher population density was associated with lower scores of internalized homonegativity. Lower internalized homonegativity was associated with lower depressive symptoms. And the indirect effect of population density through internalized homonegativity on depressive symptoms was significant. We should also note that the perceived social support and internalized homonegativity were negatively correlated with each other. Overall, the model predicted 22% of the variance in depressive symptoms, 15% of the variance in social support, and 5% of the variance in internalized homonegativity. So what these results really show is that living in less densely inhabited places was associated with higher depression when you account for the indirect effects of internalized homonegativity and perceived social support. So for individuals living in lower population density, this may mean that living in a social context that is stigmatizing towards sexual minorities and the lack of social networks may limit the ability of sexual minorities to cope with stigmatization. Higher population density may mean living in a social context where one is likely to find others with similar identities and similar interests. The implications of this research is that really we should consider the homogeneity of the urban and rural continuum on place effects for mental health. It's just that, with place effects, we shouldn't just consider those that are living in more rural settings or urban settings, that there really is this heterogeneity that exists across the continuum. And that gay and bisexual men living in more suburban areas might be subjected to place effects in ways that are also impacting their mental health. Service providers should account for these differences when they are differences for where they are currently situated and provide programming that assists gay and bisexual men with increasing their social support and reducing internalized homonegativity as a means to improve their overall health and well-being. The limitations of this study is that we use mailing zip codes. So by using this, we're not really considering other contexts in which gay and bisexual men in our sample are interacting in, such as their workplace or other social spaces. And also that our less densely populated areas in our sample may have been situated near larger metropolitan areas, and we were not able to account for that in this. So in conclusion, I'd just like to acknowledge our funders at NIDA, our project officer, CMI, for finding us all of our wonderful participants, Emory University, who did the STI testing for the cohort, all of our consultants, our team at CHEST, and our participants who volunteer their time. Thank you.
All right, questions?
Yes, so I have a question around if there was any measurement of class difference or educational difference between rural and urban areas, because it does seem that oftentimes there may be a class difference in looking at your overall sample. It was a fairly educated group overall, and I don't know if you looked at how person's education, if there was a difference between rural and urban in terms of education.
We did control for education in our analysis, but I think what you're speaking to is definitely true, that we should be looking at those differences within our most urban areas versus our most rural areas. So that's something that we can definitely look more into.
Other questions?
Thank you, Margaret. Yeah, I have a question.
Sure.
So you used zip codes and you did population density. Did you look at the density of male-male-headed households using the census data as a measure of population density of gays in each zip code?
So a lot of structural stigma research will look at variables like that, thinking about more of the social context and the things like you know, policies, number of men, male-headed households, things like that. We did not look like at that as far as this particular question, but our next step is definitely to look at more of those structural stigma type variables and look and compare them within our population density zip codes. So that's sort of our next step. Thank you.
Other. I'm curious if you put any thought into stratifying your sexual orientation subgroups, given that you had gay and bisexual men. It looked like everything you presented was all collapsed, so I was wondering if that was a conversation at all in terms of the methodology.
Our sample of bisexual men was pretty small. It was only 5% of the sample. We can certainly look at that, but I'm thinking that we probably don't have enough bisexual men within terms of thinking about where they fall within the continuum for population density, there just might not be enough to do stratification there, but it's something we can definitely look at.
Great. Mm-hmm. Any last questions? All right, wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.